Our scripture lesson for this morning is in the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, reading verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the things that they teach you in seminary about preaching and worship is that on a Sunday when you have sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the sermon is supposed to help us to take that sacrament rightly, and it's supposed to inform that sacrament. So I'm going to be going in that direction today. It's also supposed to be shorter because we've got, got to get through that, but I don't know if it's going to be shorter. We'll see. But I think one of the things we're hoping about the Lord's Supper is that it won't just be an empty symbol of, the body and blood, but it will actually truly do something to us. It will nourish us. It will deepen our faith. And that's kind of the theme I see, growing in grace, deepening our walk with Jesus. And so that's what we're going to try to do. And so today, on Worldwide Communion Sunday, we encounter this story of the disciples trying to keep the children away from Jesus. And I think it's important to kind of look at that. It's almost like these people are bringing their children to Jesus, and the disciples, this is chapter 10, just 25 verses earlier in what we now know as chapter 9, Jesus took a little child and took it into his arm and said, "Whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." He's already said, we welcome children. He's already said that just the other day. So everybody kind of knows this, and the disciples should have known it. But ever since Peter confessed Jesus to be the Messiah in chapter 8, they're all trying to work out what that means. And I think what they're doing here is saying, "Oh, no, he's way too important, for you to put little kids in his lap. We got a big man here. You don't put these little kids in here." And then Jesus says this one sentence that's so, is troubling in a way. It troubled me for a long time. "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And that used to bother me. It's like, well, I didn't really get the whole thing about Jesus and everything until I was almost in college. So I didn't receive him as a little child. Is that what you're talking about here? That you got to do it, in third or fourth grade or something like that to really make it count. That is not what it's saying, okay? It's not what it's saying. I used to worry that was what it was saying, but now I know it doesn't. But let's look at the text. The first thing, it says the disciples spoke sternly to these parents who were bringing their kids that Jesus would touch them. And then when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. You don't see that in Jesus very often, do you? That he's indignant. And he's just like, what? And so then he says, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." And so I think we got to figure out, what is it about childhood? What is it about children that is part of the kingdom of God here? And then there's that phrase, verse 15, "I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. It was like, he wasn't just talking, he was actually said, watch this, I'm gonna bless them, you know. And he did that example. So what does this mean? I can think really quickly of two meanings, and I'm gonna give you the more complex one first. The second one, I think you already kind of probably thought about it. The first one is new for me, and something that I learned preparing for this sermon. And it has to do, both of these have to do with the way you look at the grammar in this gospel in Greek and what the as means. And so one way of looking at this is this way, and I'm going to quote it in this way that the grammar would actually translate. And I want you to know we're not choosing one here. We're keeping both of these, okay? Both of them are true, right? So keep both of those in your head. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God in the same way that they would receive a little child will never enter it. Think about that again. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God in the same way that they would receive a little child will never enter it. And what does that mean? It has to do with valuing people for what they can do for you. The disciples were trying to have important people seen with Jesus. He's their guy. He's the Messiah. He needs to rank in this thing. And so with children, it diminished him to have children. He needs to have kind of the head people in the town around. But and so that's what it means that if you don't receive the kingdom of God in the same way you would receive a little child. In other words, you receive the kingdom of God not because it can do anything for you, but you are receiving the kingdom of God because you are going to give God's love to those who are excluded, to those who are disenfranchised. It's not going to build you up. You know, back in the day when everybody went to church, way before my time, of course, but, you know, people used to choose their churches by who they could meet. You know, they were like, if the mayor, you know, or one of the, like a senator went to the church, they'd go to that, you know, the downtown First Methodist, First Presbyterian, First Baptist church. That's why they would go there, so they could see what they could get out of it. Now, I know in business you do that. I had a friend whose name was Butch Pegram, and you know how some people are really good at arranging flowers, you know, and like it's almost like painting with flowers. They're so good at it. Butch was that way about party guest lists. He spent a lot of time working out who he would invite, who would be cool to see talking to each other at his parties. And so it was fun to go to his parties because you didn't know who was going to be there. You really didn't know who you were going to be talking to. And you got something out of it. When we were starting up Kingfisher Society, and it's really expensive outdoor event venue, we would purposely go to, I got invited because of Wake Forest. That's it right there. Wake Forest is 5-0 in football. I got invited to this master's reception in Augusta for Wake Forest people, and I went because of who I could meet and hand out literature to, because it would benefit me. It would benefit Kingfisher to be that kind of guy. And what this is saying, if you are really embracing Jesus, not for all that stuff, you're embracing Jesus because it's like embracing a child who cannot offer you anything or pay you anything. You are embracing the weak and vulnerable, not those who can increase your social status. God is not experienced in power, but in weakness. Entering God's dominion is not a way to become first or great, but a way to identify with the least or to serve simply for Jesus' sake. And that's a way different attitude that people in that day and now would embrace people and be a part of their party or whatever. And so I just want us to think that way. When Jesus said, truly I tell you, who does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God in the same way that they would receive a child. Isn't that interesting? It's such a different way of looking at that scripture. So that's the first one. And that's true. And these are not, like I said, they don't cancel each other out. That's the first one. The second one is a way of translating the Greek in this way. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child would receive it will never enter it. Now, you've probably heard of that. I remember when Matthew was little, like 3 or 4, he played, our down the street neighbor was Amanda Hill. And they played together all the time in each other's backyards and stuff. And then, what's the earliest you get into soccer? Is it 3 or 4? It's 4-year-old soccer, maybe. Is it 4? Okay. 4-year-old soccer. They were in different teams. And one of their first games, Amanda's team played Matthew's team. Amanda's team wore red shirts. Matthew's team wore green shirts. And, you know, it's kind of like swarm soccer is what I call it. You know, everybody's around the ball kicking, you know, and it's like a scrum in rugby. And every once in a while, the ball will leak out. Well, what leaked out? All of a sudden, and I've got this on video. I got video of the scrum, and all of a sudden, I see these two tear off, and it's Matthew in the green shirt and Amanda in the red shirt, and they're holding hands and just screaming, laughing, running around the field together. And they didn't. And so Jim, the really good parent here, tries to explain to his son about an opponent. I will teach him what an opponent is. You know, what? It's so great that they did it. And I noticed in our prayer confession, it said we find ways to divide ourselves into endless groups of us and them. That's part of our confession. And little kids have not learned that yet. They didn't know that the red shirts and the green shirts meant you're supposed to be on opposite teams. They just ran around holding hands. And so that's really great. I used to worry that you must receive it as a little child meant that you don't ask questions of faith, that you know, that you just back off and don't ask any questions about your faith. You don't get any questions answered. But who asks more questions than a child? You ever been around them? They're asking questions, you know, why is there air? Why is the sky blue? Why is your belly so big? I mean, they ask you all these questions. But the difference is they're not on a quest that they always need to keep asking questions. When you give them a good answer, they accept it. But there's so many things about being a child that is, you know, when it says you will not receive the kingdom of God like, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will receive it, will never enter it. And I think Janie talked about that in the children's message. Children mostly are not damaged yet, like we are. You know, they just haven't been exposed to the things that we've been exposed to. And so they're more trusting. And sometimes we have to make them less trusting. They are not afraid of being vulnerable. They're used to being vulnerable. And it's so hard for us as adults to be vulnerable. And the other thing they are is colorblind. And I got to tell you one more Matthew story. It is the cutest thing. So, and I actually called him this week, warned him I might talk about this. When he was about 6 years old, he kind of saved up some allowance, and he asked his sister Mindy to take him shopping for Christmas presents, and she knew kind of what money he had, so she took him to the Dollar Tree, because that's all he could afford. He went to the Dollar Tree, and he found this Christmas ornament that he thought was perfect for me and Matthew, for him and his dad. And it was a father and son fishing. And the son was sitting on his knee, and the father's holding the fishing rod. And he was so excited about that. And he spent a bunch of his money on it, bought it home, and he was so excited. And we still hang it up. And I'll show it to you. And I asked Dan to put this up. This is it. This is me and my son, Matthew. And you got it up there? There it is. And for the people on the radio or at home, I'll sort of describe it. It is a father. You know, the father's got a beard, so that's good. And they're very close. They're sitting, the son's sitting on his knee. They got the fishing pole and the fish. And Matthew thought, that's us. And he didn't notice. Well, the guy's bald, and I'm not, mostly. But it's an African-American father and son, not a Caucasian father and son. And he was blind. He didn't see it. It's a father and a son. And there's something wonderful about that. And we hang this thing up every Christmas and just love it. Just love it. And you know, and Matthew kind of looks down and smiles. Yeah, I know. But isn't that just like a child? That he hasn't been damaged the way we have to see those differences. And so whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will receive it, It means that they're trusting, they're vulnerable, and they're colorblind. And you could add a lot of things. They're humble. They have faith. And so now, as we approach the table, we're asking God to do two things this morning. And both the ways of looking at this passage of how to receive the kingdom of God. The first thing as we approach the table is we're asking God to help us identify with the least of these and to work not for status or what it would do for our careers, but just to work for Jesus' sake, to include those who are excluded and who are marginalized. For some reason, the two groups that came to mind, one are what are called now returning citizens. And if you haven't heard that term, it's folks who have been incarcerated and then have served their time and got out. And it is so hard for them to fit into society. It's hard for them to get a job. It's hard for them to be in a church. It's hard for them to just enter normal life with their kids and their families. But we as a church need to be open to including returning citizens here. And this meal can help us do that. And the second thing is, you know, LGBTQ believers, and I've been so aware of this lately because I have a friend who's a lesbian in Asheville that I talk to sometimes, and she was raised in the church, and her father was a Presbyterian minister who died when she was a teenager. But she says she knew she was gay from the time she was 7 years old. And at that time in the Presbyterian church, you know, they were being excluded. And so she had to pretend all that time. And now that the Presbyterian Church says, yes, we include LGBTQ people and we want you to come and be a full participating member, be clergy, be married. And she said, it's hard for me to get over that damage that's been done. You know, it's hard for me just because now they're saying, oh, we like you now, to want to come. And so part of that is, as the church, is for us to make more of an effort than just say, okay, the doors are open, is to really try to welcome gay friends, gay community here. And so that's to identify with the least and to work not for a status of what it would be doing for our careers, but also for Jesus' sake. And then the second is the second interpretation that this meal can do for us, to undo the damage in us, to undo what, life is hard. Life does this to you. You have scars. It's just like Janie's piece of paper there, you know, it gotten all wrinkled and everything. But this is more than a symbol here, this meal. This is true nourishment. It's true healing. Just as that bread and juice, or whatever that little wafer is, will actually nourish your body and flesh and get into your cells, spiritually that happens too. And it will undo that damage so that you can be trusting. You can be vulnerable. You can be colorblind again, as children are. I want to close just with one more quote, and this is a Frederick Buechner quote. He said, Jesus pulled a child out of the crowd and said, the greatest in the kingdom of God are people like this. 2,000 years of homiletic sentimentalizing to the contrary, notwithstanding, Jesus was not playing Captain Kangaroo. He was saying that the people who get into heaven are people who, like children, don't worry about it too much. They're people who, like children, live with their hands open more than with their fists clenched. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as we approach this communion meal, help us to discern it. Help us to use it as nourishment, to include people we've never included before, to reach out to people not for what it will do for us, but because they are the ones that you've called us to reach out to. And help it to heal the damage that's been done. We know that in many ways we are damaged goods at this point, and we ask that you would heal us, that you would save us, and that this body and blood would nourish us spiritually so that we can again be trusting and vulnerable and colorblind. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.